TheHumanistHome.com. Welcome. I'm your humble host, Tony Teolis, and I'm keeping track of things to do around the home. This is Episode 7 of the To-Do List Home Podcast. How to do my taxes in the most cost-effective and time-saving manner. Coming to you from Northern Virginia in the USA. More information on this podcast and others can be found at todolisthome.com. The song of the day is Paper Sun by Traffic, recorded on Mr. Fantasy from 2000. Have a listen at amazon.com, and the link can be found in the show notes. What drives this? This is my way of paying back years of using the internet for research, learning and improving permaculture techniques to help build community, sufficiency, and reliance, retiring at age 55 or younger, and thesurvivalpodcast.com. Go to thesurvivalpodcast.com today and learn how to live the good life if times get bad or even if they don't. Today's gardening chore: how to set up a rainwater tank, rain barrel, rain catcher, whatever you call it. As you may or may not have guessed by the pictures in the show notes, or from experience, a rainwater tank, rain barrel, rain catcher, whatever, is simply that: a large barrel designed to catch and hold the rainwater runoff from your roof. Why would you want to do this, you may ask yourself? It's April now, and it's hard to imagine what a long, hot, dry summer will be like, but it's coming, and having a little extra water around for my gardens is always a plus. Moreover, it's free water. In Virginia, I am able to go ahead and catch rainwater and use it as I see fit. At least for now, that is. Eventually, I would like to put some rain catchment device in place that will be used to flush my toilets. Currently, I pay about $40 a month for water, sewage use, and service charges. So anything extra, I can save by that which nature provides. It also helps us to keep the bottom line in line. As the future progresses, water only becomes more expensive. So this practice that I have undertaken of rainwater catchment and storage is something that I will have to build on over time. The Indian saved water, and what was wrong with that? Rainwater barrels used to be regular features of rural homes in particular, and in many places around the world, they are still widely used for everyday consumption. Why I do this is part of the theme I outlined in episodes 1 and 2. The more dependent we become on complex systems, the more we are forced to pay the piper for the going price. According to my latest water bill, we used 7,000 gallons of water during the past month. If I have a roof that covers approximately 1,000 square feet, then 1 inch of rain would yield 623 gallons of water. Potentially, with the right type of system based on average rainfall for my area, I could provide about 26% of water through rain alone. However, to get such a system requires simple steps first. Thus, I began my experimentation with rainwater capture 2 years ago. Another reason to start experimenting with this is because in the state of Colorado, installation of rainwater collection barrels is subject to the Constitution of the state of Colorado, state statutes, and case law. This is a consequence of the system of water rights in that state. The movement and holding of rainwater is inextricably linked to the ownership of water rights and is enshrined in the Constitution of the state of Colorado. In short, that means it's basically illegal to catch and hold rainwater in Colorado. Don't let that happen in a state where you live. To put in a rainwater catchment system, you could go online and make an order for something in the range of about $145, which is where they start with anything of lasting quality and appeal. For me, that's always been too expensive, and they never seemed big enough for my needs. Additionally, I'm not looking for a continuous water supply for my gardens through rain catchment at this time. Thus, I sacrifice appeal and durability for something that works and provides water to thirsty gardens in a pinch. As you can see from the pictures, my rain catchment system is pretty simple. A 35-gallon garbage can from Walmart, some screen door screen, silicone sealant, and a PVC off-on valve. Total cost was less than $15. I have two of these systems connected to my rear downspouts. They are each equipped with overflow runoff connections to provide about 70 gallons of water, and that almost covers a weekly watering of the 250 square feet of gardens that I manage. Not a perfect system by far, but through this learning experience, I plan to put in larger food-grade water tanks with filters in the future. On my to-do list today is how to do my taxes in the most cost-effective and time-saving manner. First, a financial disclaimer. Neither this site or its owner are in any way providing anything other than a personal story of a tax filing experience. No responsibility is to be attached to the owner or the site for what you actually do with the information provided. As you know, if you're a taxpayer, the tax man is expecting to hear from you within the next few days. Taxes are due Monday, April 18th, 2011, which is a little later than the usual date due to the celebration of Emancipation Day. If you're like me and you owe taxes, you might have put the chore of doing your taxes way down near the bottom of your to-do list, like I did in February. When I first attempted my taxes for 2011, I went to taxslayer.com, as I have done every year since 2005. That's taxslayer.com. I have always done my own taxes, except for 2003, when I moved back to the USA from Japan and utilized the services of an expensive tax preparer. In 2004, I bought TurboTax, but in 2005, a co-worker referred me to TaxSlayer as an alternative with the same results. I have never been disappointed in using it, at least until this past February. When I completed the online questions and filled in the required information, I ended up owing the federal government close to $2,000. That certainly wasn't a cool thing to find out. What's even less cool is the history of the federal income tax. Until 1913, there was no personal income tax. However, with the advent of the Federal Reserve banking system, it became necessary to enact an insurance program for the payment of interest on the national debt that began with the birth of the Federal Reserve. So now we pay taxes, but it's more like paying the interest on your poor old and broke Uncle Sam's credit card. Your poor old uncle spent $3.1 trillion in 2009, but only collected $1.175 trillion in personal income tax. Corporate taxes and employment taxes helped to provide a little more than another trillion, and the rest was borrowed, hence the need for the interest payments. Pretty sad, isn't it? Well, it's your money or your life, and my wife expects me to be here every day. Thus, I manage my federal income tax, but in a way that allows me some sense of control. Now, most people expect refunds, and many probably don't have a choice as to how much money is taken from each paycheck. The bad thing about that is the government keeps more money from you every paycheck than they are due. They earn interest on it all year, and then make you file paperwork and wait and hope you get what you overpaid at face value. Thus, if you receive a $500 refund, sure, it's nothing to sneeze at, but that's $500 you could have kept in a bank CD, and at the end of a year you could have earned some extra cash on top of it. Instead, due to inflation, the government took your money, earned interest on it, and only paid you back the equivalent of $500 from last year, which this year is probably worth only $475. That's money you lost through inflation. My work pay and money system allows me to alter the exemptions that I can claim, and as a result, I fix them so I pay less in federal income tax each payday, but I have to reconcile the balance at the end of the year. This year, I owe money, but I will pay with money that I have earned interest on and not the government. Not taking control of your exemptions if you have the opportunity is the same as throwing money away. Talk to your human resource department today to see what you can do to control your money. Both TurboTax and TaxSlayer allow you to work through your taxes for free up until the filing process. This is through their online systems. So, by doing the following comparisons, I was not only able to save money, but I also learned a few things. Now, as I mentioned, I had a bill to settle with the government, but I first needed to check to see if my exemptions and the amount due reconciled. They did. My next thought was to panic and call a tax preparer for help, but I did that in 2003, and I didn't need to panic over some vain hope that a stranger would help get me out of my bill. Instead, I tried TurboTax again this year, and when I finished the online process, it seemed that I owed the government $200 less than what TaxSlayer stated. I proceeded as far as the e-filing process, and then noticed the $82 price tag for filing my federal and state taxes through TurboTax. That was ridiculous. I decided to give TaxSlayer another shot and re-entered my information and compared it against TurboTax. I double-checked my information once again, and in the end, it turned out that TurboTax had me making an unqualified exemption. The amount due to the government was the same on both systems. The difference? Filing both federal and state returns through TaxSlayer was only $14.95. That's $67 less than TurboTax. Everything is now filed, and it's not too late for you to experiment with online tax filing systems. Make the comparisons before you buy. That's it for today. Now go and do something useful.